Hi, and welcome to Seeking the Gospel Truth. I'm Giselle Aguiar. We've been going through the Old Testament, seeing how Jesus and his gospel factors into every story. If you've missed any of them, search through the podcast or blog for the studies on the books of Genesis through Ruth. As we continue God's story, which is really our story, I am changing how we go through the bulk of the rest of the Old Testament. If you read the Bible from cover to cover, the historical books get a bit confusing as the timeline isn't straight. My goal is to do them in historical sequence. So we'll bounce around the Old Testament, but the stories will make better sense. Jesus is the hero of the entire Bible, and we'll find him everywhere as we go along. You'll also see how the Old Testament sets us up for the New Testament. And I've covered most of the New Testament, and you can find those studies along with podcast playlists on my blog. I pray that as you hear this message, it will inspire you to study the Bible daily for yourself. Seek the truth. I pray that God opens your heart and eyes and mind to understand what His Spirit is trying to tell you. And as you become rooted in the Word, you'll also be rooted in hope, joy, and peace. Let's dig in. Are Catholics idolaters? According to God and the Bible, yes, they are. Idolatry is a worship, veneration, and/or idolization of anyone or anything other than the one true God. That is the Trinity. God the Father, also known as Yahweh, that's the Jewish name for him. God the Son, Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Messiah. That's HaMashiach is Messiah in Hebrew, and Messiah is Greek, which means the anointed one or Christ. And then God, the Holy Spirit or Ghost, that is the Trinity. Okay, there's no Mary in there. There's nobody else in the Trinity. There's three people and one God. God laid down this law clearly in the Ten Commandments found in Exodus 20, starting in verse 3. You must not have any other God, little g God, but me. Verse 4. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other little g gods. The Jews had difficulty complying with this law, as do many world religions today, including Roman Catholicism. In these next two chapters of Isaiah, God reiterates that idolatry is foolish and that he alone is God. Period. Let's dig in. Isaiah 44. But now listen to me, Jacob, my servant, Israel, my chosen one. The Lord who made you and helps you says, do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, O dear Israel, my chosen one, for I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields. And I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your children. They will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbank. Some will proudly claim, I belong to the Lord. Others will say, I'm a descendant of Jacob. Some will write the Lord's name on their hands and will take the name of Israel as their own. The foolishness of idols. This is what the Lord says. Israel's king and redeemer, the Lord of heaven's armies, says, I am the first and the last. There is no other God. Who is like me? Let him step forward and prove to you his power. Let him do as I have done since ancient times, when I established a people and explained its future. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim my purposes for you long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any other God? No, there is no other rock, not one. How foolish are those who manufacture idols. These prized objects are really worthless. The people who worship idols don't know this, so they are all put to shame. Who but a fool will make his own god, an idol that cannot help him one bit? All who worship idols will be disgraced, along with all these craftsmen, mere humans, who claim they can make a god, a little g god. They may all stand together, but they will stand in terror and shame. The blacksmith stands at his forge to make a sharp tool, pounding and shaping it with all his might. His work makes him hungry and weak. It makes him thirsty and faint. Then the woodcarver measures a block of wood and draws a pattern on it. He works with chisel and plane and carves it into a human figure. He gives it human beauty and puts it in a little shrine. He cuts down cedars. He selects the cypress and the oak. He plants the pine in the forest to be nourished by the rain. Then he uses part of the wood to make a fire. With it, he warms himself and bakes his bread. Then, yes, it's true, he takes the rest of it and makes himself a little g-god to worship. He makes an idol and bows down in front of it. He burns part of the tree to roast his meat and to keep himself warm. He says, "Oh, that fire feels good." Then he takes what's left and makes his little g-god, a carved idol. He falls down in front of it, worshiping and praying to it. "Rescue me," he says. "You are my little g god." Such stupidity and ignorance. Their eyes are closed and they cannot see. Their minds are shut and they cannot think. The person who made the idol never stops to reflect, "Why, it's just a block of wood. I burned half of it for heat and used it to bake my bread and roast my meat. How can the rest of it be a little g god? Should I bow down to worship a piece of wood?" The poor, deluded fool feeds on ashes. He trusts something that can't help him at all, yet he cannot bring himself to ask, "Is this idol that I'm holding in my hand a lie?" Restoration for Jerusalem. "Pay attention, O Jacob, for you are my servant, O Israel. I, the Lord, made you, and I will not forget you. I have swept away your sins like a cloud. I have scattered your offenses like the morning mist. Oh, return to me, for I have paid the price to set you free. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done this wondrous thing. Shout for joy, O depths of the earth. Break into song, O mountains and forests and every tree. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and is glorified in Israel." This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer and Creator. "I am the Lord who made all things. I alone stretched out the heavens. Who was with me when I made the earth? I expose the false prophets as liars and makes fools of fortune tellers. I cause the wise to give bad advice, thus proving them to be fools. But I carry out the predictions of my prophets. But by them, I say to Jerusalem, 'People will live here again.' And to the towns of Judah, 'You will be rebuilt.' I will restore all your ruins. When I speak to the rivers and say, 'Dry up,' they will be dry. When I say of Cyrus, 'He is my shepherd,' he will certainly do as I say. He will command, 'Rebuild Jerusalem.' He will say, 'Restore the temple.'" The end of Isaiah 44. Prophecies fulfilled. Well, verse 3 was fulfilled at Pentecost. Verse 5, "I belong to the Lord." Well, I belong to Jesus. Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:13, "And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago." Thank you.
If you're a born-again believer, helping a Catholic friend or family member start reading the Bible, it's a great idea to give them one. But which version or translation would be a good one for them? There are too many to choose from. As a former Catholic, it helped me to have a Bible translation in plain everyday English. And I know many evangelical Christians are very much attached to the King James Version. That's fine if that's what you grew up with. Remember, Catholics have grown up with priests and nuns telling them they don't need to read the Bible. All they have to do is trust the church to teach them what they need to know, only they don't, and that's the problem. When I first started going back to church, a well-meaning friend told me to get a King James Version. Well, guess what? I got frustrated with the thees and thous and stopped reading it, totally defeating the purpose. Eventually, I got the New International Version, or the NIV, and that was the best for a new Christian to get into the habit of reading the Bible daily. Today, I also study from the New King James Version, or NKJV, and the New Living Translation, the NLT. I'm now an affiliate of Christian Book Distributors, and I've chosen three study Bibles that would be a great gift for that Catholic or progressive friend whom you'd like to help get into the habit of reading the Bible daily. They're also great for the new Christian believer. Check them out. The link is in the show notes. And by the way, all commissions will be donated to one or more of the Bible translating ministries listed on my site. So give the gift of the Word of God and help spread the word while you're at it. Okay, more prophecies fulfilled. Verse 22, Jesus took away our sins forever on the cross. They are gone. Once forgiven, always forgiven. Once saved, always saved. God never abandoned Israel. He punished them for a while, just like one punishes a little kid on a timeout. So Isaiah's book was written in 700 BC. So just about 100 years later is when the Babylonian invasion happened. It's from 605 to 586 BC in three stages. Then in 539 BC, the fall of the Babylonian Empire to Cyrus of Persia, which Cyrus is mentioned, he'll be mentioned again in 45. In 458 BC, Cyrus sends the Jews back and the restoration begins back to Israel and Jerusalem. Now, in 332 and 320 to 323 BC, Alexander the Great conquers the Persian Empire. So Cyrus's empire is not going to last forever. And then what I covered yesterday, talking about Hanukkah, was the Greek takeover of Israel and the Maccabean Revolt. That's from 323 to 198 BC. So yeah, so kingdoms and empires don't last forever. Okay, well, God and Jesus are one and the same. In verse 6, God states that he is the first and the last. And in the book of Revelation, John writes that Jesus said in Revelation 1:8, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end," says the Lord God. "I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One." And then in Revelation 22:13, Jesus reiterates that I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So only God is 100% accurate 100% of the time. Anyone who doubts Bible prophecy is foolish. Idolatry is foolish. Idolatry is self-worship, humans worshiping themselves. Idolatry is making gods in their own image. God made us in his image. Idolatry is also the worship of anything created by God or man, like this picture of a lady kissing what supposedly is a relic of the crown of thorns that Jesus wore. Yeah, you got to take a look at this picture. It's over on my blog. The link is in the show notes. I'm like, yeah, right. Like that's really the crown of thorns that Jesus wore. Yeah, sure. Today, we also have the worship of the Mother Earth. Okay, those who adhere to the whole climate change fallacy are also idolaters. Likewise, they are also people who worship themselves. There are also people who worship themselves, prideful and vain, as well as those who worship money, power, luxury, and success. It's all idolatry. There is one God and one God only. Going on, Isaiah 45. This is what the Lord says to Cyrus, his anointed one. Now, Cyrus isn't even born yet. Okay. Whose right hand he will empower. Before him, mighty kings will be paralyzed with fear. Their fortress gates will be opened, never to shut again. This is what the Lord says. I will go before you, Cyrus, and level the mountains. I will smash down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. And I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness, secret riches. I will do this so you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name. And why have I called you for this work? Why did I call you by name when you did not know me? It is for the sake of Jacob, my servant, Israel, my chosen one. I am the Lord. There is no other God. I have equipped you for battle, though you don't even know me. So all the world from east to west will know that there is no other God. I am the Lord. There is no other. I create the light and make the darkness. I send good times and bad times. I, the Lord, am the one who does these things. Open up, O heavens, and pour out your righteousness. Let the earth open wide so salvation and righteousness can sprout up together. I, the Lord, created them. What sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, stop, you're doing it wrong? Does the pot exclaim, how clumsy can you be? How terrible it would be if a newborn baby said to its father, why was I born? Or if it said to its mother, why did you make me this way? This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and your creator. Do you question what I do for my children? Do you give me orders about the work of my hands? I am the one who made the earth and created people to live on it. With my hands, I stretched out the heavens. All the stars are at my command. I will raise up Cyrus to fulfill my righteous purpose, and I will guide his actions. He will restore my city and free my captive people without seeking a reward. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. Future conversions of the Gentiles. This is what the Lord says. You will rule the Egyptians, the Ethiopians, and the Sabians. They will come to you with all their merchandise, and it will be all yours. They will follow you as prisoners in chains. They will fall to their knees in front of you and say, God is with you, and he is the only God. There is no other. Truly, O God of Israel, our Savior, you work in mysterious ways. All craftsmen who make idols will be humiliated. They will all be disgraced together. All means all. But the Lord will save the people of Israel with eternal salvation. Through whom? Jesus. Throughout everlasting ages, they will never again be humiliated and disgraced. For the Lord is God, and he created the heavens and the earth and put everything in place. He made the world to be living, not to be a place of empty chaos. I am the Lord, he says, and there is no other. I publicly proclaim bold promises. I do not whisper obscurities in some dark corner. I would not have told the people of Israel to seek me if I could not be found. I, the Lord, speak only what is true and declare only what is right. Gather together and come, you fugitives from surrounding nations. What fools they are who carry around their wooden idols and pray to gods that cannot save. Consult together, argue your case, get together and decide what to say. You made these things known so long ago. What idol ever told you they would happen? Was it not I, the Lord? For there is no other God but me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me. Let all the world look to me for salvation, for I am God. There is no other. I have sworn by my own name. I have spoken in truth. or I will never go back on my word. Every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare alliance to me. The people will declare the Lord is the source of all my righteousness and strength, and all who were angry with him will come to him and be ashamed. In the Lord, all generations of Israel will be justified, and in him they will boast. It's the end of Isaiah 45. And we'll read more about Cyrus when we get to the book of Daniel, so I won't get into him now. What's important here is what will happen in the future. Every knee in the world will bow to Jesus. Paul acknowledges this in his letter to the Philippians. And we're in Philippians 2, starting in verse 6. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names. All means all. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The place of highest honor, no one or no thing can replace Jesus, not Mary, not any of the dead saints, not a pope or a preacher or any human or created being, period. Worshiping anything or anyone else but Jesus is idolatry, and he detests idolatry. So the next time you're in church, if you look around and see statues of people made of wood, plaster, clay, stone, or metal, remember that God created the materials a human used to create the statue or image. Worshiping an inanimate object is idolatry, period. And dead people too. The good news is you can turn from idol worship, confess and repent of your sins, and Jesus will forgive you forever. If you openly declare that Jesus is your only Lord and Savior, you are redeemed. You are saved from spending eternity in hell, which, by the way, that's where you're going without Jesus, because there is no such thing as purgatory. It's your choice. So what are you waiting for? Invite Jesus into your heart and receive the gift and confident hope of eternal life. If you don't know what to say, you don't know what to do, there's a prayer in the show notes, or you can click on over to my blog and click where it says how to invite Jesus into your heart. And in the bottom of today's blog, I embedded 3 worship songs. You Are God Alone, The Great I Am, and In Christ Alone, because that is the truth. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory.
Are you a born-again Christian with Catholic friends or family members? Have you struggled with how to bring up the truth of Jesus' salvation? I had the same problem, so I put together a free ebook, The Catholic Mission Field in Our Backyards. It's a guide to help you start the conversation and plant the seed that will get them thinking, am I missing something? Check it out. It's a free download on my website. You'll find the link in the show notes. Oh, please, let me know if it helped you. Thank you for listening to this episode. I pray that the Holy Spirit, the author of Scripture, touched your heart to reveal the gospel truth that our hope of salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to reach out to me via my website or social media. I encourage you to read the Bible daily and seek the truth for yourself. I recommend that you download 2 free Bible study apps, the YouVersion Bible app and Through the Word. Friends, we are living in strange, crazy times, the last days, the end times. But know that things aren't falling apart, they are falling into place. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20-22, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Jesus is knocking. It's up to you to open the door. Peter told us in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed or perish, but wants everyone to repent. Jesus is coming back soon. Are you ready? Repent of your sins and invite Jesus into your heart right now. If you don't know what to say, there's a prayer in the show notes and on my blog. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory.